Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
feel much like that. You just wish the push was through.
Most times
you
can't
hear them talk.
Other times you can. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you always seem outnumbered. You don't dare make a stand. Here I am. On the road again.
You're there.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
I hear somebody.
No host.
No host.
No host.
Oh, wow. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
I don't know what to do. I can't log in. Where's Sweet?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll sit here patiently. I'll message Deb. See what's going on.
No host.
Yeah, just let her know. Huh.
No, I'm messaging Pretty Bird.
Okay. Yeah, anybody that could log in. Getting an answer here. She said it. She's calling back.
Okay.
She got booted.
Of course she did.
She should be back. Yeah, let me get back to the studio here. Hold on. Okay.
We sit here and plug shows all night.
Yeah. Well, I was watching the Cardinal game. 4-5 in the top of the night, top of the ninth, with one out to go. I had to run in. I'm assuming. And let's see. Well, let's see what day this is. When you were listening to the intro, was there two overlap songs going? Did you hear that?
In the beginning, maybe. I came in a little late.
Okay. That was weird. Bob Seger. Turn the Page, I think it was, and then some other song. Let's go.
Woohoo, I'm finally back. Awesome.
There you go.
I recognize that voice.
Oh, my goodness. I played four songs. Got kicked out twice. Came back in. Then Hatter's on the board going, I can't hear anybody. I'm like, I couldn't hear anybody before, so I didn't even know if anybody was there. So now I can see people. I can hear people. And hello, everyone.
It's time for Sweet Discussions.
I'm blessed. It is time for Sweet Discussions. So hello. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Pea on Sweet Discussion, sponsored by Lee P, the Amazing Poet. I played Forever Young. That was a fun song. Let's see, what else? Played a couple of great songs. Now I can't even remember because I'm so flustered.
Bob Seger?
Did you hear Bob Seger? Turn the Page was playing at the same
yes.
time. Okay.
I had songs, and then I had songs coming from somewhere. I didn't know where they were coming from. I had songs, and then I had a background song, and I'm like, who is singing behind the song I'm playing? I had no idea where that was
you
coming
had,
from.
You had an extra tab open. Usually,
I have
it's usually
tabs
what happens.
Open on my,
if you got a
my,
tab open, you don't know.
Well, I had to have it hidden because right now there's two tabs open, Group, A Team of Voices, and Blog Talk Radio. And then when I start my poems, I'll have another tab.
CP doesn't drink tabs.
No, I don't like 16 tabs open when I'm running a show. I keep it very, very sweet and neat. So, that's sweet and neat. That's like me. Sweet and neat. Hi, guys. How are you?
It's National Pop-Pop Day.
It's National what day? National Pop-Pop Day or Pop-Up Day.
Like a fruit.
Yes, Sky, you can read and run. If you need to take your melatonin and go to bed, come aboard, my lovely girl. Yes, of course you can. You can do whatever you want. Wonder. Oh, of course. So how's everybody's week going?
Just about over.
Well, I know. That's why I said, how's everybody's week been going? Not how is your week or how will it go? Are you looking forward to the fall starting this weekend? Are you warm and chilly or cool and sunny? I mean, I don't know what part of your world's going. I mean, right now, AP is in a heat wave. So, how's California weather?
It's cooling off in California. Cooling off in California.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Gonna do a pop up show tomorrow with Pretty Bird.
I am excited about that. Hi, Sky.
Hi. I was listening to your podcast and I heard your message to me.
All right. So let's throw your poem on the board. And let's get it read, because I'm very excited. I'd like to hear it.
It's an old poem, and I don't think I've brought many brevities, but it's just a little brevity. So, but it fits the prop.
Okay.
So it's very, very small. It just says,
okay.
Too young for gray. Am I not too young for gray, for time to color timid wisp, the dark, drab fog of May? Obviously, I was getting gray here in 2016.
You are way too young for gray. I mean, in 2016, what, were you 20-something?
I had grays in my early 20s, maybe even at 19. I had a couple of stray grays. Not many, but
oh,
they
good
were
Lord.
There. Yeah.
No gray. Maybe in December, but not in May.
I have a good amount coming in right on my sidelines, like right above your ears. Like, that's where they're growing right now. They're just growing in that section on both sides of my head. It's good.
Is this a haiku?
Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Did you bring a haiku?
I was thinking more like, what's his name? In the Marvel Universe, Doctor Strange, right? And I'll just be like Doctor Strange. Sorry, I cut you off, Sweet Pea. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My dog's cut me off, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I like the word of May, because we speak of May and December as May being the young pursue or the young lady or young man of the pursuer from December, being the older gentleman or female that comes after the young May. So I really like that play.
Thank you, Chief. They're excited
and
to see me.
What are your thoughts on that?
Haiku? I'm not. I'm too young for gray.
No,
My hair went from white to white. No transition.
And rat.
I'd have to hire a stylist to figure out about whites and grays and, you know, interior decorator at least. So I don't know. To me, you know, age is a number, and old souls and everything, and the color of your hair. But before, when I could see the color of your hair, you know, it wasn't really always indicative of the person behind it. People, you know, you look older, you look younger. It's like, you know, open your mouth and give me an idea how old you are. I don't know. I love the idea of, you know, appearances can be deceiving, and, you know, too young for gray. It's sad sometimes when little kids can be or feel like, you know, they're that old. There's a sense of you know, the seriousness and you know, that there's too many problems that, you know, children are supposed to be carefree. So, you know, when a child is like, you know, beyond their ages, it feels like there's a problem attached to that, that that doesn't feel right sometimes. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes it's just the kid's style, you know, it's just the kid is, and you know, that's where their brain is at. So you really can't tell.
I love how you went super existential with that, like, metaphor. Excellent, Rack. Thank you.
Rack. Okay, can I read mine,
sweet? About my gray hair. You went deep. I like it.
absolutely, you can read yours, Hatter.
I just want Sky to know what it's like getting old.
Okay. Guy, you got to stick around for this one, or Hatter's going to cry. So.
Helicopter's going by. Okay. You everybody got it?
No, I haven't even put it up there yet.
I might become sure. Not there yet.
I love the title of it, but hold on. It's not there quite yet. I've got issues with my computer working. I've got issues with my phone working. All right. I am not having the best in the world day. It's just one of those days. You guys are going to have to...
Can I tell you the next time I'm on while you're searching?
Yes.
All right. So next month will be the first month. Storyboards will officially be on A Team of Voices, which is moving over on Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month. And we are kicking it off because the first week of the month is always Star Wars. Star Wars Tales of Terror. It's the Lego spoof. There are hilarious clips in there. If you like Lost Boys, the movie, if you remember that, they do a wonderful spin-off spoof on there. And really cool. I would highly recommend checking out the, the topic's already up. So next month starts off storyboards on A Team of Voices. So thanks for having me.
All right. Hatter, you are up and ready.
Okay. I might become shorter. Time turns backwards and lose what you get when the sun falls in the east and rises in the west. Each day I wake, I feel about so sore. I dream of I'm younger than I was before. Gray turns colors as if by choice. The cakes turn from dry, but a succulent moist. The wind blows backwards as if trying to say I've been here before, just the other day. I'll turn a year younger coming this July. I can't wait to be again a cool 25. Don't ask questions. It could be worse to live my life again, this time in reverse. My life could get easy without those things that hurt so much getting older will bring. I might become shorter. I'm not sure how that goes, but I'll be happy again when I can see my toes. What about girls? Will they fade away like it never happened? Who's to say? How will it have happened about my twins? Will they line up by age and jump back in? Maybe it's better if time runs through and I can grow old staying married to you.
Oh, that's beautiful, Hatter. To grow back old, huh? To grow back young, then to grow back old.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe it's time. It's better. Yeah. I don't know. That's a great concept to try to figure out, you know, which way is to go. Would it, could it go worse in reverse, or could it go better forward? Yeah, I don't know. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I don't think I'd want to go back. I don't think I'd want to run it backwards, because I know what it looked like going forward. I can't imagine what it would look like going backwards. But I love the thought. It's got such retrospect, and, you know, to think, God, I did that when I was 19, or I did that when I was 21, or I did that when I was 34, or anything like that, I would not want to go back and do that. And I love the line about your twins. Would they line up by age and jump back in? Oh, hell no. Ain't nobody jumping back in. No, no, no. Screw that. Just FYI. I like this a lot. I think it's beautiful. I think you did a great job. And, yeah, the wind, and I love the line, the wind blows backwards, as you're trying to say, I've been here before just the other day. I think that's probably my favorite stanza in this. So, Miss Sky, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, so if you want to know what it's like to grow old and then to be young, you could just ask Mr. F. Scott Fitzgerald, who wrote The Curious Case of Benjamin Buttons, right? Which I was just talking about, too, it's funny enough. And then the film. And I'm going to tell you something, Hatter. It did not work out so well for him.
Oh, it's a dumb idea. Yeah, it's a bad idea.
I mean, the middle of it was okay, right? The beginning and the end was a little rough. I thought this was really cool. I liked the idea of, you know, throwing old back and going young, climbing backwards. I mean, it's definitely a brilliant idea. And I like how you contemplate that. You know, my life's amazing without those things that hurt so much from what it would bring. But I mean, if you start off that way, you're still going to be experiencing that just on the opposite end. And then,
no, I got
yeah,
it now.
So, I mean,
shut up. Go.
Yeah.
To contemplate.
Like,
and.
Lay down.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
Sorry.
Excellent.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Thought it was on mute. Right. I apologize. Talking over you guys.
I'm going to head out. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go take some melatonin. Thanks.
Take some anti-stress medicine for me so my dogs stop being assholes.
I'll do that. I'll get some, I'll take some anti-stress medicine for you.
Thank you. And Rack, your thoughts on this beautiful poem.
Yeah, it's made me think. The line from Cher's song, If I Could Turn Back Time, too. But, yeah, Benjamin Buttons came to mind. And rolling the clock backwards and forwards, like having a VCR, that would be cool, you know, if you could go to a certain point. But, you know, at the same time, you know, like what Sweet Pea said, I lived it once. I don't know if I want to go through it again, you know, even with knowing what the pitfalls and knowing what might happen or what could happen or what's supposed to happen. Because, you know, they say you can't really change things. So, you know, trying to change it might be a folly, you know. But the thought that you envelope when you end it with you know, now I can grow old with you. I love that sentiment. You know, that's when you find the right person, the person that feels right to be around. You know, you always wish for more time with them. And, you know, the places that you want to pick that up or where you think you can get that time and make it up. It's an odd thought, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you can't help but want it because it's a happier thing. You know, the stuff that I, at least in my life, a lot of the stuff that I lived through, you know, I look back and I'm like, you know, it's not so much that you wish it could be different. It's just that, you know, you're surprised at the way things turned out or that you even managed to survive. So, you know,
yeah, it's a bad idea. You would only know the things that you don't have anymore, like the microwave. Do you remember before the microwave?
The radar range. It was the radar range before it was the microwave.
You mean the toaster oven?
That's awesome. All right, I need to welcome a bunch of people back into the studio. I have Deb and I have AP. How are you guys?
I'm very well, Slate.
Good. Did either one of you hear Hatter's poem or look at Hatter's poem, want to make a comment?
I missed it. Slate, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Press for time, AP. You got to get running. I know you've had a lot of meetings.
I've just finished a board meeting. I was just going to throw a quick poem on the board and go back and everybody's in one thing. Okay.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah?
Please do.
So, this is like a little song.
Oh, good.
So, this is a quick poem I knocked up in my youth. And it goes a bit like this. You know, when I reflect, the last few years has been a blast, and my energy's less direct towards artistic endeavors past, none of which I did before, it's more history than I face, was more likely to ignore standing in the same place. In my youth, money chase and responsibility green, turn around years to face, a reflection boring and mean. Whereas now, a canvas and thanks to brush's grace, lost any sense of anxious, running all over with pace. In my youth, money chase and responsibility green, turn around years to face, a reflection boring and mean. In common.
Oh. What a self-reflection. And aren't you glad that you found better canvas just to not be so boring and mean? I find that knowing you now, that might be a different person if you've come to become.
Very much. Very.
But I also think that, you know, you've done that, but you've gained such a intelligent view on the world. Because I think that sometimes when we have such driven goals when we're younger and we strive for those goals and we're focused on that goals, that we educate ourselves in so many things, like a vast amount of the world. And when we get a certain way that we do calm down and we do learn things and we say, oh, you know, maybe we should have done it that way, but we have learned from our adventures, our toils, and we can become better people because of that. And I think that's somewhere in your spirit that's what you may have been, but your spirit is who you are because of it.
Thank you.
So, Deb, your thoughts? I lost Deb. Something about it. She read for me last night, so I got to read for her tonight. Okay. There we go. That's what I got to do. Rackentor, your thoughts on this?
I like the idea of you know, the reflection. You know, too many people want to look outwards and blame other influences and things, but to look at yourself in the mirror and reflect on it that way, I think is the more responsible, the more intelligent way to look at things. You know, we have no one to blame but ourselves, ultimately, as they say. For how things turn out sometimes. And, you know, when it comes to the unfolding of time and the mirrors, I always struggle with, am I looking at a regular mirror or a funhouse mirror? So, you know, that's kind of like, you know, where I warp the blame a little bit. But yeah, great. This is a great piece, wow. AP.
No, thanks.
I agree. I really like it. All right, that's it. Everybody left me. Deb, Sky, and Hatter. They all dropped.
The most.
So be it. I know. All three of them, like, bam, bam, bam. But
wow.
I don't know what to tell you. Just me and Rack.
Wow.
And AP.
And Mr.
Wow.
And Mystique and Gunner and Amadeus. Oh, they don't have much to say.
But, no, I've got my way through a board meeting this week, which is good, since we last spoke. So,
I'm glad.
I've got to
go relax. Room.
It's nice. I'm going to. Thank you.
And not a problem. And enjoy your heat wave. I hear it's record-breaking over there in Australia.
It's bloody hot, sweet. Yes.
I heard that.
We've had lots of rain before it got very hot, and so we have record grass and rodents and all that stuff, and so we're seeing incredible numbers of lizards, and they're huge, and even bigger amounts of snakes.
I was going to say, well, don't you need the snakes to eat the rodents, though?
You do. You do. We even had an Australian rules football game delayed for half an hour while they called the snake catcher in to take the red-bellied black snake off the football oval.
Oh, see, that's a problem. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So when you cast a delay of a football game to get rid of the snakes on the field.
Yeah, imagine that happening in the NFL. Yeah, imagine the NFL you know, half an hour delay because they had somebody to come in and grab the snake off the side of the field.
No, that's not going to happen.
No, seriously.
And did you, how mad are you at the Steelers for what they did to Chubbs on the Browns?
Oh, very.
That was horrible.
Very.
That was awful.
Oh, no, I agree.
That was awful.
Right, it was terrible, painful, horrible to watch.
I know. Oh.
Yeah. No,
I watched that and I got so mad because the Steelers are like the Raiders, except everybody likes the Steelers.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Well, it would be like I was watching Trevor Lawrence the last weekend, you know, where I just kept yelling at the screen for him to do something, you know, anything. Something, please, anything. And he wasn't even listening.
Not like the Browns were dumbasses and could have won that game.
Well, that's exactly right. Anyway.
I mean, let's drop the ball when you're right there winning a game. And you just drop the ball and let the Steelers take it and run with it.
Yep.
No.
Yep. Stupid. Just immensely stupid. But at least I didn't have a red-bellied black snake on the side of the field. You know, there's that about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hate to think about
you know,
that.
you got to be relative in these things.
So. I do.
But, you know,
I'm
going
to sit Chubb.
Here and get some feedback about how we did chairing this meeting. So,
all right. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
All right, bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Rack, it's just you and me.
That would make me happy.
So what do you mean? I know. So what have you been up to? Not wanting to be young, not wanting to be old.
Oh, my God, just treading the water. Just, you know, hanging out, figuring out what's going to be. Thinking about tomorrow we're going to do that show, Whiskey and Rhyme. And then I got another one coming up for Halloween, so I'm gonna get that one up a little early too. Come as your favorite monster. So We'll see what happens on Halloween.
You mean myself?
If that's your favorite monster, you know, we'll see.
Isn't it everybody's?
That turns into a strictly a matter of opinion, I think, you know. What makes a monster?
Yeah.
Some people will go vampire and zombie. Some people are going to go sweepy and ex-wife. So
that's true. I am a couple men's ex-wives. Oh, just one man's ex-wife, actually. So that doesn't mean I'm not crazy. All right. Let's see.
You're so crazy.
Uh-huh. So let's see. What am I doing now?
I think I'm going to put up.
What?
What is it? Cat Stevens? So Very Young?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I didn't get in the studio. There were a couple I wanted to, but I didn't. I'm a dumbass when it comes to that. So I'm going to read one of my poems about
awesome.
Things I did in the past. And I've got another one I'm kind of in the middle of. I don't know if I'll get it finished before this ends, but we'll see. Come on. If I can get there, I'm telling you, I'm having so many problems with my computer. I'm almost like, maybe I shouldn't do this show. But I figured we'd get through it. We'd have to. At some point, we could do it. I could do it. I know I could. Yeah. This is crazy. I can't do it. Like a little truck. So this is crazy, but let's see. Bobby?
I'm just a little.
Now I've got all these songs in my head. Forever Young. That one's. All right. I will read for Deb, too. Can't. Yeah. So this is I shall undo my I do. Because I got married at 17. So this is kind of crazy. So my younger years also had some crazy things going on in it. So I shall undo my I do's. When bluebirds sang in fairy tale melodies, adventurers with faith set off to conquer mountains, striving to tackle our tribulations and love our way through to the end, or love our way through to the next precipice. A moment in time when golden rings were precious, our eyes told others the story of our happiness. Laughter rejuvenated the core of lust, igniting fires. The battles of silence and mundane routine battered our sails, and yesterday orange tomorrow's war. Soldier slain, promises scorned, teardrops fell alone. Blood splattered designs and use of magenta lies covered the walls, fingerprints embedded in dead flower promises, leaving revenge pulsating the bitter veins. Arguments led to uppercuts to the chin, one tends to fear. As fools pay attention to clowns with painted smiles, for no one stays with a sad clown to wipe away real tears. Follow me not into my dismay, for someday I promise to undo my I do's for forever and a day. May you live in the glory of your pleasure, or in your pain, and home.
Wow. I love that. Staying with the idea of staying with the sad clown. You brought me back to my high school. You know, I wanted to get married back then, and, you know, knowing now what I knew then, I think I dodged a bullet. Holy crap. Well, it's I had a rule back in the day. I don't know, you know, your dating history or things like that. It's like you know, if we date, you know, you don't date an ex, never look back. There's no rearview mirror. You know, the ex is an ex for a reason, kind of a thing. So, my first girlfriend, we wanted to get together, but her parents were kind of like, you know, you're too young, you got to wait, and da 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 da. And they threw up all kinds of roadblocks, and things just never ended up working out. So, and then later on in life, she came back in my life, and I was like, you know, oh my God, we you know, fell back into our routine, and things were great, and we were looking in each other's eyes, and yada yada yada, and then and the crazy came out again, and it's like okay, I'm glad things worked out the way they worked out. You know, she kind of you know, left me a note on my pillow and ran away again. I'm like, you know, holy shit, this is what I have to look forward to. Undoing your I do's, yeah. When you realize that you made a mistake and you want to be able to turn back the clock and undo some of what you did, you know, it's comforting to think that you know, things, now that you know better, they would turn out better or turn out differently. Because, you know, at least for me, I went into relationships with the idea of, you know, well, as long as we have each other, we'll make it work. And, you know, unless both people have that same idea, it ain't going to work. So, yeah.
Right.
That's so heartbreaking that when you know, to watch someone become sad and then realize, you know, I'm the reason that you're sad. It's like, I can't handle shit like that. That's like, you know, that don't work for me. It's that's what drives me crazy, and that's what kills me. It's bad enough that, you know, you want what you want, and it seems like such a simple ideal. It's like, you know, we only need each other. And then, you know, reality sinks in, and it's like, we only need a couple of grand to pay the rent, you know. And,
right.
And that's when, you know, those uppercuts come in, and like, you know, well, if you didn't spend money on cigarettes, or if you weren't so fat, you know, and back and forth, and yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
But I love the language that you use in your piece, and the way you refer to the sad clown, and the closing thoughts of that. They're very poignant and very relatable, and you know, heartbreaking for me. So yeah. I can understand.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah, it's kind of crazy what we think of. Yeah, and especially in high school, where you think that, oh, I'm supposed to marry my high school lover or my high school, you know, girlfriend, and we're supposed to stay together forever and ever and ever. You know, and that's just not the way it is.
It feels like it at the time, and when you actually go to undertake it, you realize, I bit off a little more than I could chew, at least in some cases.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's instances of, like, you know, people where it did work, but, you know, I don't know.
I know, but I think, you know, 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, it was standard, and even more so back in my mom's day.
Yeah.
You know, getting married at 16 was no big deal. That's just what you did. You know?
Yeah.
So shotgun
wedding.
Yeah. And that's all it is. That's what you do. So I thought that was funny. And that's just, you know, one of those weird things.
Yeah.
All right. So, let me go back here to my world. We'll find King of Voices. Woohoo! Let's go here. Dum-de-dum. Let's go to Deb. Up her poem.
sorry, people, I am just like, I should be talking while I'm doing this, being a good radio host, and I'm like dead silent, dead air, dead air. But, hey, while my poets are talking, I'm screaming at my dog, so everybody got to hear that. I totally thought I was on mute. But no, was I? No. No, not at all. I'm like, they didn't call my husband. Drop your ass. Drop your ass. Take care of the dogs.
You did have an audience full of men sitting up and rolling over while you were doing that, though, so.
I felt so bad. I didn't mean to do that. I think that's the first time I've done that. Where it's like, where the hell is Gunner? He's outside barking. Get him in the house. I felt so bad. Dumbass. All right, so this is Call Them the Golden Years, My Ass by Deborah Lee. She's got a little picture there, a little meme. Getting old sucks. I used to wake up feeling like $1 million. Now I feel more like a bounce check. Oh, I get that. Dentures are tossed in a glass of foam at night, or crowns of white porcelain cap soaking teeth. Bunions swell the big toes on 2 feet with gout. Sagging skin and wrinkles clear ice out, now blurs. We bang heads on stone walls and whine as we shout, cracking the fat lumps that the doctor calls spurs. Brown hair turns gray and grows from the ears too, then rip out as we tug the hearing aids out. Cholesterol clogs the blood inside veins, closed too snug, and black stilettos are now flat. Wobbling on walkers and leaning on canes, you fall in the dirt as you trip, you can crack the skull or break the hip. In the golden years, bones snap and they pop, and the list that we add to, it may not stop. And boom. I love black stilettos are now flats. Nah, that's so true. This is great. Dentures are tossed in glass of foam at night, or crowns of white porcelain cap broken teeth. Bunions swell in the big toes on 2 feet with gout. Gout is awful. My dad had gout. Oh, my God. That's a horrible thing to have. Your thoughts there, Racky?
Yeah, gout was considered a rich man's disease. A lot of people don't even know what that is. There was one of the movies that was like the guy's goal was to get gout. He wanted to get gout so he could have that, you know, that badge, that honor. But yeah, there's a song now, something about, you know, something about admitting it's hard getting older, something like that. You know, all the little afflictions that you pick up along the way, the mile markers of I'm turning into my parents or I'm getting older, the flats and the walker and the cane. That's my reality, to be sure. But the humor behind the flats for me is, the stilettos turn to flats because, you know, you're putting on the weight and you just, the heel just like, you know, popped into the ground. But
oh,
anyways,
no, that has nothing to do with it. Oh, no, that's
yeah,
not why we give up our flats. Holy hell, we give up our flats because it's the balance issue.
Yeah, yeah, I understand the reality behind it, but from growing up with cartoons and stuff, it's like, you know, the fake reality of, you know, you want to blame it on one thing, but it's really not, you know. That's the other thing. From our perspective, you know, putting on weight, it's like, you know, what, 3 pounds, 5 pounds. You know, sometimes it is a lot more than that, but it always feels more than it is. You know, it's like I can stand to lose a few pounds, and then someone from the outside is looking at you like, you know, you're like 3 pounds heavier. You know, you're not that big, but it always feels worse than it is. And to me, that's what it all comes back down to is that perspective, because you know it's your problems. You know, other people might don't understand that, you know, well, this is how it affects me. You know, you've got your problems, I've got my problems. At the end of the day, you know, I take my problems with me. You know, I can't leave them, give them away. I can't give them to someone else. Maybe if I'm lucky, there's someone I might be able to share them with a little bit. But for the most part, you know, they affect me. So, you know, while other people are, you know, this, that, and the other thing, it's like, well, that doesn't affect me. So I'm thinking about, you know, my own bones popping and creaking and my teeth coming out. Like, my teeth are like the stars. They come out at night. You know, you can make jokes about it all you want. That's the reality of it. And you know, the ramifications of that, how like, you know, the government, you know, you want to turn it into a big conspiracy of, and the government doesn't want to pay, you know, it's like that becomes the reality of it, you know. It's how am I going to cover this in the insurance, you know? One more malady to worry about, trying to get that taken care of. I need to get that taken care of. It goes on like that never ending list of, you know, this needs to get taken care of. How many to do? Put it in an AP business perspective. You end up with this never ending list of, you know, well, this needs to get done. This needs to get done. This you know, when does it end? You know, life.
I want to be in 1960s. I want to be the 1966 restored version, like they do with the Mustangs. I want somebody to do that with me.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah, you know, classic, just putting all the new parts. I'll rev up my engines and just, you know, down the road I go. But that's not happening for me at all.
This is my,
I think they should be
my cherry classic. All the dents and things are hammered out, and she's all polished and beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it should be that way.
Absolutely.
All right. So next up, I've got Miss Jenny Deep, which I get to read, so I hope everybody's all right with my voice tonight, because Rack ain't reading tonight. He's decided that it's just not comfortable. Uncomfortable reading Braille on the computer. So I'm going to do it. I'm waiting for that to happen too. Braille computers. It's going to be fabulous.
The computer can read to me, but then, you know, it wants to take over the microphone and then I can't talk. So
I know. That's no, I've had computers read to me. That it's not very pleasant. So at least I'm one step above the computer. At least I hope so. So this is Used to Be Fun, Now I'm Done by Jenny the Deep. And I find that this is not a reflection on Jenny at all. So, yeah, we're going to – hold on, I got to sneeze, guys, so that's not going to help us at all.
Used to be fun, but now I'm done. The good time girl thought. Oh my God, that's what they used to put in the bathrooms, right? For a good time call.
That's 6675209.
No, that was
That's Jenny.
That's
Jenny.
Is Jenny.
Yep.
8675309.
I like it. Just yeah.
Now people, you know, stalkers, they find your phone number somehow.
All right.
That
I think I'm done. I hate fall. It's worse than spring for me. Fall is way worse than spring, so I apologize. Okay. All right, here we go, Jenny. Used to be fun, now I'm done. My carrion brain is too decrepit to be saved. Used to be spontaneous and misbehave. Now lazy and lame always mean to be high, or this adult life I would not survive. Dramatic experience in my younger years ruins my adulthood, bringing on more fears. Rarely do I miss being a child,
didn't even get away with being wild. Looked down upon if I let my crazy side out. So I sit secretly, silent, dying to shout. Used to be young and adored. Now that I'm older, my presence feels forced. Being young was fun, don't get me wrong, because now all I do is stress all day long. Overcame obstacles in this shameful reality, still hanging on to a hidden dark fantasy. End poem. Ooh. Now, see that last line, Johnny, kind of throws me off. I wonder what your subject is holding on to. Because, you know, dark fantasies can be fun. Because I go to very odd places. But this is kind of a sad poem. You know, it's kind of sad and you know, like, oh my God, what did you go through? And you know, you had to behave. And I kind of feel for you there, because I was always like, my father was a minister, so we went to church all the time and did all these crazy things. Like, it, I mean, church Sunday mornings and church Sunday afternoon, you know, so I was in church all day Sunday. And then there was, you know, youth group on Saturday nights, and then there was prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And, you know, mom had the ladies of the whatever, and then my parents were in the youth group. So it was a lot of church. So there was, I was like supposed to be quiet a lot. let's just say I was not as quiet as I should have been, because I was told to sit down and be quiet a lot. And I know you all don't know me, but you know that I was not quiet as I should have been. Because to sit me down in a pew and say, you be quiet for the next hour and a half, was a very difficult task for me. I don't know how my mother survived me. I really don't. But the one thing she did give me is a pen and a pen, piece of paper. So I think that's how I survived. So yeah.
I thought the piece was beautiful, and it makes me think of you know, what people tend to value. From my perspective, I would feel lucky to have captured that person, to have tamed the wild beast, as it were. To know that, like, you know, especially watching, you know, children or something grow up, it's like, oh, if you only knew what your mother was like. You know, the stories that you could tell, the memories that you could look back on, and having, you know, kind of won the race in that sense, because, you know, really everyone would look at that girl and be like, you know, that's where I want to be. I want to have that fun. I want to to be lucky enough to be the one that grew old with that person and watch them mature and turn into the responsible adult. You know, to me, that's a good thing. That's a fortunate thing. That, you know, you survived the craziness, and you could look back on it and say, you know, I remember when. But you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, I got my priorities straight. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, and not everyone can make that claim and be in that place where, you know, I straightened out, or, you know. You know, there's a particular story that keeps jumping in my head about you that you tell about, you know, right behind your the good reverend's head. You know, it's like, if he only turned around, that kind of thought is like, you know, and you got away with that, and you know, to me, surviving that is like, you know, how. And but at the same time, it's like, you know, well, it's behind me now. I could say I did it. And I don't have to have that, you know, what if, like, you know, or wouldn't it be funny? It'd be like, well, I lived through it. It wasn't funny.
No.
With a cow heart.
With a cow heart. I mean, really. I just find it
the things that you grow up with, you know, and things that go crazy and nuts. I don't know. By the way, I also love the way you use carrying. That's a great word. I'm going to have to slip that in. I really like that word. I do. I got to say, I like that word. So, let's go back, look at our world, see where I'm at. I'm hoping Pretty Bird is going to call us and read her poem. I do not want to read Pretty Bird's poem. I don't like to read for Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird is a Pretty Bird group.
She has a style all her own.
Yeah. Let's write her R. You calling in to read your poem. Mm-hmm.
She was planning on calling in earlier.
I know, she's got a menace for a dog.
Yes. With a cherry eye that likes to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
Her dog is her interior decorator eating the walls.
I know. That's just crazy to me. So, let's see what she says. I'm very excited about your whiskey show tomorrow. Very, very excited.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
I tend to think of you, actually, whiskey and jazz, so.
I know. There I go sneezing again. I apologize.
Bless you.
Thank you. Somebody needs to. Good Lord. Owie. Let me see. Let me go back to me.
Red stilettos from the car to the bar.
Red stilettos from the car to the bar. That's what I still have. Car to the bar. That's all I got.
Turning those legs into beautiful marbles.
All I can do. Yep. I'm going to see if I have any other childlike poems in my world so I can talk about being young, the young days. Like driving cars and being dumb.
Yeah,
Lord knows I probably have then. Yeah. When I was young. Younger. See what I got.
When I was a young man, so much younger than today.
Yeah. Let's see.
Help.
I don't know what I would have put him under then. That's not going to work. Okay. Dean? I can't spell tonight. I got released from physical therapy, though. I was happy about that. I have one called Once Upon a Childhood's Dream, A Wolf Disemboweled Her Mother. That's probably not exactly what we're talking about, huh? Yeah, it's definitely not what we're talking about.
You know, when we were children, we were wild and carefree, and the ravages of time, you know, sometimes that prevents us from maintaining that crazy lifestyle. that expression of die young and leave a good-looking corpse. It's like time does crap to you.
Pretty Little Liars.
You know?
This is a great one.
You can't
this
do things that you
young.
Used to do. And some people, you know, they're going to die trying.
Yeah.
You ain't that kid anymore.
No, you're not. Oh, Pretty Bird's on the line. Hi, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
And now you're stuck because I've got a poem. I got a poem on the board that I got to read now. And then you're going to...
That's fine.
I was talking about my childhood. And then I went and got a poem because I was waiting on you. So you're ready to hear my youth
poem?
Sorry,
I'm so slow.
Huh?
I said, I'm sorry, I'm
I
so
love
slow.
You.
I love you, too.
You're the bestest ever. You're the bestest ever. And I love that you've got a little teenage rebel right now. I think she's going through a little bit of her teenage years.
She's a menace.
I think she might be a teenager because she's going through that. She's like, what, 2.5, 3?
No.
Oh.
She's like 19 months.
Yeah, so she's like 2.
A year and a half.
Getting
yeah.
That. Yeah, she's
a
teenager.
A
menace. Oh, you're getting it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like getting
yeah.
That.
I'm too old for
yeah,
this shit.
That's exactly. Yeah, you're getting right in there. You probably got another 18 months of her just deciding her own rules for a while. That's
no,
great.
No, she's going to be the death of me. If you hear some banging, it's because she, like, bulldozed her way through my door.
I like her.
Well, she's feisty. Of course you do.
I will not be denied.
I'm surprised
like
she's not red.
Oh, poor baby. Good luck, Mama.
Yeah, thanks.
So this is Picnics of My Youth by Sweet Pea. Monochrome movies of neophyte days roll clickety-clack a narration of novellas. Antique eyes weep, fragile bones creak, recalling life's moments as I lean into my grave. Amber rays warm my body as I rock on the old porch swing. Watch fun time in reverse, and I was at the beach, chasing down the red and white plastic flags in the wind as summertime traditions etch out, picnic season begins. I fancied summertime watching buds and trees burst into leaves, listening to red robins and blue jays sing in harmonized melodies, with magpies dressed in tuxedos and crows in onyx tails, belting out the boom-boom bass bump sound. Impressions of my mama hide in shadows. I hear her giggling, enjoying the jubilation of youth. Imaginations lived in sand castles and swing sets, singing and dancing, seesaws and games. I sat to devour the yellow whipped eggs on picnic tables, conquer the sand in sandwiches, slurp oranges from green jello, and swallow it down with purple Kool-Aid, in wax-colored paper cups, lined up on splintered benches. The aqua-colored waters of Lake Erie, a cool invitation, as sunrays smoldered, tender young flesh. I bound from the playground in my one-piece swimsuit, my feet skipping across warm sands to splash in the waves. When the gray veil of twilight covered the sky, wet children slowly dried, we licked desserts of vanilla ice cream cone or vanilla ice cream on sugar cone, smiling at the sand line, eyes, mouth begging to say. Onyx tires hummed on dirt roads headed for home. I whispered from the back seat, rambling about our day. My belly full from the food I ate, my body sore from swimming along the shores. Emerald eyes closed into sleep, I did fade. End poem. There it is. That's a little childhood youth memory. All right, now we go on.
No, we talk. Because now I'm here and I can run your comments. So, I love you. I love this.
I love
these lazy summer days and all the detail and that mix of nostalgia and in-the-moment memories, which is not the easiest thing to capture when you're no longer, you know, little. And because I don't know about y'all, but exuberance is no longer my everyday strong suit. You know, that energy left me long ago. And I love this. And I love that, you know, you want to say you're exhausted and you're still rambling on in the back seat as you're falling asleep. And for some reason, this song reminds me of the Teddy Bear's Picnic. You know that song? No, if you go along the woods,
no.
You know that song. Yeah. You don't know that song? Okay.
No, I don't.
I will do one verse or the chorus. Because you'll know it, and then look it up because it just reminds me of that song. It is if you go out in the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you better go in disguise. 'Cause every bear that ever there was is gathered there together because today is the day that teddy bears have their picnic.
I have to look that up. I don't know this song.
Really? Well, it's the actual verses are all about the long, lazy days and being tucked into bed, like carried to bed and whatnot. And so this just reminds me of that, which is just glorious on so many levels. And I'm sorry that y'all had to hear my crappy, sick voice, but it is what it is.
Oh, shut up.
But
you have a beautiful
voice. I love this. not today, but thank you. Where's the part? Where's the part about the sun? Where's the part about the sun? Because I love that. Oh. Sunrise, smoldered, tender, young flesh. You know what? Yeah, it does. But when you're little, you don't care. When you're little, that's what happy feels like. When you're little, those are the best days, you know? And, you know, when you're older, okay, it sucks and it hurts for days and it peels and sometimes blisters and it is unpleasant on all levels and no. But when you're little, it doesn't matter. That's just part of the experience of life, and it's fabulous, and you captured that wonderfully. I mean, I was right back there, too. Like, we didn't have big family picnics because my mother is very much like I am now, and so she was not outdoorsy, but that doesn't mean that I didn't have friends whose families were very much outdoorsies, and they would go down to the local playground or the local whatever and have all the picnic tables in the pavilion and line up all the cups of that crappy juice that they sell in the gallons because, you know, that's what they had back in the day, and the orange and the red that tasted nothing like any kind of fruit, but it was the best stuff ever. And so, yeah,
yep.
I am right there with you. So this took me back, so far back. But instead of ice cream for me, it was all snow cones because summer was the only time you got the snow cones and those little god-awful paper, you know, cones. So that was just freaking fabulous. And I haven't thought about fruit and Jell-O for years until like 2 days ago. Rack actually mentioned it. And then I was like, ew. And so here it is again with the fruit and the Jell-O. And, yeah, like for years. Like, I think that all of us kids or most of us who grew up back when that was big, don't make that.
Oh, no, none of us. That's such a thing of the past.
Oh my lord, Jell-O molds were a thing that people volunteered for every potluck, everything. Somebody brought a Jell-O mold. I mean, I used to get excited, not about the ones with the fruit, but about the ones that like would mix their like some Jell-O with the cream and then break up some regular Jell-O and mix it up with the Jell-O and the cream, and so you had this kind of creamy gelatinous model goo in the shape of some kind of butt cake.
I know exactly which ones you're talking about. They had like the marble color with the creams and
You know, and it was just a different kind of flavor, it was just, you know, and so I liked that because I really was not with the chunky things, unless they were grapes. If all they put in there was grapes, I was good because you can suck the Jell-O off the grapes, and then they were still grapes. Like oranges and stuff, Jell-O changes them a little bit. I'm not old, it's fine.
Or the fruit cocktail. The fruit cocktail in the Jell-O mix. You were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who does that?
And, you know, And that's not an easy thing to do because it has to half set, and then you have to sprinkle the stuff and let that set and sprinkle more stuff and let that set. I mean, it was like an all-day job to make fancy Jell-O. I was like, who's got patience for that? I don't.
I
like, now they sell Jell-O in cups. There, if you want Jell-O, here's your little individual Jell-O cup. I'm not cooking it. You're fine.
I just had one of those, like, an hour ago.
Yeah, but you had Jell-O shots. That's different.
Oh.
Oh.
Jell-O shots. I love Jell-O shots. So Rat,
it was good.
Where were you transported to with this poem?
Oh, you don't want to know. Here's the problem. Your descriptions took me back. It was so easy to visualize you as a kid chasing that plastic bag across the beach, but I was still an old man, so that doesn't work. I'm watching you have your fun, but I'm like, you know, but that's just not appropriate. She's a little girl, but you know, at the same time, you're joyful. The joyful exuberance comes through, and that's the beauty of what you wrote. You know, I love that idea of chasing that plastic bag because, you know, who needs Nintendo when you got a plastic bag, you know, with sticks and you know, everything. It was so easy to amuse ourselves when we were younger. You know, the simplest things in life just took us away and we found a smile in everything. But you know, as you grew older, you kind of left that behind almost, and that's the sad thing. To be able to see someone enjoying something like that again, you know, it really takes you back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. And this was a contest by John LeBon. So it was like he set out certain things that you had to do, like feelings. So it was kind of interesting how he set it up. And I got a silver, so I was excited because, A, it was for John, and, two, it was, like one of the quotes was, when I was younger. So I was very proud of this poem. And I actually forgot about it until
awesome.
I was looking for stuff for tonight. So that's cool. Yay. All right. You're up, and then we're going to say goodnight.
I'm up. All right. So I have, to preface this just a wee bit. Okay,
it's not on the board.
You what? Did I not put it on the board?
I don't see it. Maybe I should refresh.
I'm not close to CD13. It's fine. Nope, I didn't make it. My
bad. I don't see it on the board. Okay.
Oh, that's because...
Oh, it was me. Don't worry about it.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so gray hair is a thing, and I ain't having it. So... What I had decided to do was to take a section of my hair across the left side of my hair that was kind of a lot whiter than everything else, and I bleached the whole section on that side of my hair, and I was like, I'm going to dye that whatever color I want. So my very first color was this, like, nice deep magenta, like not a hot bright pink, but a deeper, like, you know, the magenta. I mean, it faded to hot pink, but whatever. And I was like, this is fabulous. I can still, and then I'm sitting there looking at it going, what the hell's wrong with me? I'm old. Anyway, so I had that all different colors for like 3 or 4 years, whatever. And then I was like, you know what? I need to feel like I'm actually not some creepy old lady with weird hair. And so this is dye defined in DSM almost diagnoses. And for those who don't know, the DSM is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Illness, and so they're currently on version 5.5 with the text revision. I think I have version 4 because I had to buy it when I was in college. But anyway, so this is my mental, literally written the first time I dyed that pink. Okay. So, you know, this it is what it is. This is by defined in DSM almost diagnosis. Magenta. It used to be a happy color, magenta. Today, it feels like wasted youth in a mouthful of yesterday's dreams. Vibrancy of innocence captured in the graying wisdom of damn near old. Age isn't necessarily wise, and wisdom isn't reserved for time served. Why, then, is color so young in kindergarten crayon box happiness? Wasted on those who have yet to glean their importance, left to the importance of, to the impotence of fluid conceptualization. Concrete thought and abstract emotion make for a revised DSM too full to garner a pocket version. Sometimes a smile comes in magenta hues, in momentary joy, a remembrance of days gone by. Others, it looks like past life almost, in a bottle that mocks what joy used to be, magenta. Used to be a happy color, magenta. End poem.
I loved that. Magenta, it used to be a happy color, which coincides with my awful poem that says magenta lies that are blood spattered all over my house. So it used to be a happy color, but between you and I, it's now an awful color. So you've done something to magenta, pretty bird, between your darkness and mine. I'm just saying, in one night we've killed magenta. Just so everyone knows.
The poem you read earlier really have magenta. That's hysterical.
It does. It
that's too funny.
It has something to do with magenta, covered in magenta lies, blood spatter.
That's fabulous.
I love, why then is the color so young in kindergarten crayon box happiness? I love that question, by the way. Why did they take us from 8 to 78 to 110? I don't understand. I was happy with my 8 box of crayons until I saw Sally Kimberly with 64. Why?
You know, 64 is the perfect box. It's enough to give you a variety. I think that when it gets to that 110 or 120, however much it is, it's overwhelming and you can't pick a damn color.
Right.
I mean, do I want this shade of blue or that shade of blue or the other?
And what is the difference between flesh and nude? Nobody told me. And I still don't get it.
Well, are we talking in bra colors, crayon colors in general?
Crayon colors in general. Because you do have buff, flesh, and nude.
Well, buff is like a neutral kind of darker than cream, but not really kind of the color of evaporated milk. Nude and flesh. Flesh is that color that wants to be peach but isn't really peachy, so that is your basic Caucasian. And nude is a cooler tone of said white person.
All right. I lived in Ohio, in Cleveland, and I was part of desegregation, so I was always being bussed and back and forth. And I always colored my people white because I was white.
Mayonnaise.
Just like a little white paste. That's
mayonnaise.
Oh, my goodness.
Just so you know, a little insight to my world.
That's hysterical. But you're very alabaster and ivory, so yeah.
I am very, I was very white, and I still am very white. I'm almost see-through white. If they would have had a crayon that was called see-through, I would have probably colored myself that color.
That is hysterical.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun at school. It was a very interesting years. Others, it looks like past life almost in a bottle that mocks what joy used to be. I have never been able, like, in my world with all the frisbee dogs and everything I play with, a lot of our people will do those streaks in their hair, and then they do their dog's tips of their dog's tails, they'll color. So I can't do that. No, I cannot do a blue streak in my red hair and do, like, the tip of Mystique. Well, she doesn't have a tail, but, like, any kind of puffy, because it does not look right. Nothing goes with red, just so you know. But I love that. I love that you did something amazing. And I don't think you're crazy, regardless of your own personal diagnosis. But there's so many great minds.
Well, everybody, on any given day, every single person that qualifies as, and I'm finger quoting normal because I don't like that word, is about two ticks away from 10 different diagnoses, but they can't diagnose you with anything because you don't check all the boxes. So we're all kind of crazy. It's just we're not crazy enough.
Yeah. That's crazy. Rack your thoughts.
It gives a whole new meaning to having your poem read. I really like that. Sometimes you wonder what someone was thinking when they do that to their hair, trying to recapture their youth, or it's like the equivalent of a guy buying a Corvette, you know, when in his 70s or 80s. It's like you know, overcompensate much. I don't know. You're trying to grasp at something that's gone, but you know, at the end of the day, you look at your hair and it's like, you know, what did I do? I don't know. In the moment, I could see it and embrace it and the lightheartedness of it and the joy of it, but you know, the reality of trying to live with it just changes it a little bit, changes the perspective of it, and I think you captured that. You know,
the very first night. I mean, I kept it for 3 years in all different colors, so it was. I didn't hate it. It was spicy. It was a pain in the butt to have to keep up with because that color is always temporary, and I'm very lazy, so no with the having to do that once a week. But it was just that one day where I'm looking at it like, what the hell was I thinking? And for that couple of hours, you feel exactly like that, like, you know, what made me think that I wanted to do this? And if I'm honest, I was never allowed to do anything with my hair. My sister did. My mom told me, hell no. And so I didn't have any. I was not a rebel, you know. I was very old for my age. And so I didn't have any green hair. I never had super short hair. I always wanted super short, spicy hair. The only time I had short hair, I was 40 years old.
I'm sorry.
And that sounds just like my mom and why my hair is still long today. Because, she
has the most beautiful hair.
Oh, I did before COVID. But thank you.
It'll come back. It will come back.
It'll grow in thicker.
OMG.
Oh, I don't know if it can grow in thicker because otherwise her head will, like, fall to the side and she can't pick it up. So let's not hope that for her.
There's a difference between thick and fluffy, but it's okay. I'm good. I'm good. But it's interesting the things that we do. Like I said, I was not a rebellious child or young whatever. I really just wasn't. And I was the sober one at parties that used to, like, before cell phones, because I'm no spring chicken. I would be the one with my little, okay, my favorite, when I was like in high school, they had those like 75 cent Burger King cameras that came in their kids meals that you put a roll of 110 film in that stuck out the side. There was no flash, just a little square that you flipped up. And I used to take a million pictures of that thing because it fit in my pocket and I felt like a spy. But I used to take it with me to parties and chronicle everybody's crazy. Well, yeah, you were drunk enough for this. Here, look at this picture, look at this picture, look at this picture. Because there were no cell phones, there was no selfies, there was no chronicling things in the moment. So I was perfectly happy reminding everybody of their stupidity and nonsense because it was hysterical. They would ask me, what did I do last night? You're a little hoary, but it's okay, and nobody saw you but me. So I was that girl. I kept all the secrets.
I've been there.
Except for the one time I was 13 and accidentally got drunk at a party that my mom made me go to with my sister, and hence Pretty Bird was born.
Well, aren't you a pretty bird?
Exactly. Yes. I told you that story, right?
Lord. No.
Okay, so here it is. How much time we got? Oh, we have plenty of time. Okay. So I was 13. My sister was 15. Our friend invited us to a birthday party. Invited my sister to the birthday party, assuming she was going to invite me to the birthday party, but she didn't tell me that I was invited to the birthday party. But, you know, my mom was like, you ain't going if she's not going. So I ended up going to the birthday party that she decided to tell me I was invited to begin with. But whatever. Okay, I mean, the drama started young. So we go to this party, and our friend was just on the cusp of all of the, like, skinheads and punk kids and whatnot. So she had a lot of them, including Mr. Dennis, who was quite hot. Anyways, okay, this is a PG-13 show. Okay, I need to cut some stuff out. Because it was a party, let me tell you what. And there I am, 13 years old. So I'll get to my name. My mother told my sister and me, just nurse your beer. I said, okay. And I didn't ask any questions. My father dropped us off. And, you know, my sister was honest. There was going to be a keg. Okay, just nurse your beer. You're fine. And so I asked my sister before we walked in the door, what does this mean to nurse your beer? And she said, don't let it, you know, just keep it at half full.
Okay.
And so every time I walked through the kitchen, they taught me off, you know. I never got below half, but they taught me off every time I walked through that kitchen. And I was 13 and never drank anything. So enter Tom with an H. 21 years old, blonde, leather jacket from England. And so I have always been, apparently, from that moment, a happy drunk. I am very, very love the world. So I'm just, like, leaning on this guy who's just freaking adorable, the accent. And we're talking. And he's all like, well, aren't you just a pretty bird? And I'm I was just like, well, okay, thanks. He's like, and so I'm just like, you're so cute. And they're like, oh, stupid, because I was drunk at 13. And he's like, well, he's like, well, you're just a peach, aren't you? And I'm all like, and here's where it's going to get a little less than PG-13. This is, and I'm all like, well, I like peaches, especially when they're warm and juicy. And it wasn't until I got home that night.
Oh, my God. Before
you get me in trouble. And he left, okay, because he couldn't. He's like, I just can't. You're going to get me in trouble. And he left. So I'm home that night, drunk as all get out. My mother's dying of laughter when I tell her this story because I like warm peaches. And she, every time I said it, she would literally lose her shit. She would just die of laughter. And she did not tell me why that was funny. So I did not know until later, okay, the things that have come out of my mouth. But that is how I got my name. Well, aren't you just a pretty bird? Yes, apparently you think so. So thank you. So hence
that is amazing. I love that. I've never heard that story. And yes, your little warm peach got a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's the thing. Yeah, my dad.
He had to leave because he was going to get him in trouble.
Okay, see, you know, it's a good thing he was a nice guy. But yeah. That
he was nice to leave. He was smart to leave.
Oh yeah, he was a good looking guy. He was all, I was like, I gotta go before you get me in trouble. How sweet is that? I'm like, well, thank you for not taking advantage of my young, stupid, drunken state. He had no clue how old I was, because at 13, I looked like I was 16 or 17. But even then, that's still jailbait. You know, at 16, I was, with 16 with braces, I was buying beer like it was nothing. So it's all about the boobage. But yeah, that's how I got my name.
You're hilarious.
So did we plug tomorrow's show?
He did, but you're more welcome to plug it again.
Oh, with the Friday night speakeasy. It's kind of like a flash mob, but not really. Anyway, it is tomorrow night from 10 to 12. It is whiskey and rhyme. I don't care what kind of rhyme you bring. I'm a free verse kind of gal myself, but I can rhyme. And so I'll bring a couple of those poems. And it is a I want to hear it in your voice kind of show. So me and Rack decided that you can call in. You can give us a recording attached to your poem, but we're going to reserve any readings until the end. So if you need a reader, it may not be on air simply because I like to hear how people flow their own stuff. So call us. Let's just talk about it. Drink some whiskey if you got it. Drink some fruit juice. I don't care, but bring something to drink because why the heck not? And come speak easy with us.
I like it.
I mean, I have a lot of whiskey of whiskey poems too.
I do too.
I don't know what it is. My measurement of whiskey isn't in shots and jiggers. It is full on, always a 3-finger standard, which what's 1 or 2 going to do you, you know? And for those who don't know, that's the width of fingers on the side of a glass and how you pour a real drink.
Yes.
You know.
3 fingers.
In case people don't. Yes, exactly.
Well, even back in the old days, W.C. Fields would be like 2 fingers, and he put 2 fingers on the bottom of the glass, and then he would just separate the top finger and just make it go up, 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 up.
I'm like 2 of his fingers, not 2 of mine. Let's go. Let's have it. Or 3, because it's always a 3. Because I don't want to keep on buying drinks. Just give me a good one, and I'm fine. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I took my niece and nephew, me and my husband took my niece and nephew out to dinner when I was down south last week, right? And so I ordered a passion fruit margarita because I haven't had anything passion fruit since I was in Puerto Rico. And I took one sip of this thing and almost gagged. I was like, there's no fruit in this margarita. It's literally a giant margarita glass full of whatever the hell it is. I was like, wow, that can take paint off a wall. Did I drink it? Yes. But I forgot to tell them to put, I like a sugared rim rather than a salted rim. So, that was probably about 4 shots worth of liquor, no lie. And like maybe 2 drops of something that made it a little cloudy to look like there was juice in it, but there wasn't. No flavor whatsoever. It was full on alcohol. And so 1 drink did me very well.
And depending on the size of your hand, like your 3 fingers would be a lot more than my 3 fingers.
My little sausage fingers. That's because you have tiny little hands, like little child hands and tiny little tic-tac feet because you're like this wee little perfect person. Me, not so much. But, it'll be whatever man I'm with. Your 3 fingers are going to work. Let's go.
Shut up, Brad.
Exactly. And I know that my husband, my entire width of my fist only covers just under 3 of my husband's fingers. So he can palm my face like you palm a basketball. Like his pinky and his thumb are like tragus to tragus in my ears. You know. That's that little nubbin in the middle of your ear, for those who don't know what a tragus is. I don't mean to qualify all my stuff, but people think I'm weird and misunderstand how I say things, so I clarify everything. It's not because I think people don't understand me, it's just so I want to make sure that they do.
Well, some people think you're weird, right. And some people know you're weird.
Yeah, and some people love you all because of that.
Absolutely.
Well, then that's a good thing because I would much prefer the because of rather than the in spite of because those people kind of suck. you can't love somebody in spite of this. I hate this part of you, but I love you anyway. Well, no part of love is hate, so I'm calling bullshit. You know, that's a...
Right.
That's that's no. But
this is part of who
you are. Exactly. So
right.
You gotta love it all. You know, I mean, there are things you put up with. You know, I think I told you both. There are certain you gotta pick your battles. You know, I cannot share toothpaste with my husband, and I knew this from the moment we lived together, because he squeezes from the middle, and I am anal about squeezing from the end. And I cannot fix the tube of toothpaste every time I use the tube of toothpaste. So I have my own toothpaste. He can mush up his toothpaste that, incidentally, I do still fix, but I don't care because it's not mine, so I don't feel compelled to have to fix it before I can brush my teeth. I brush my teeth, and I'm all fabulous. And he won't even buy the ones that are plastic and pop back into shape anymore. You know, he still uses the old-school ones that you still have to, like, you know, that hold its shape. And I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, you're driving me nuts. But he doesn't fight me on how I hang the toilet paper, so we're good.
That's always
good. I can only put up with so much nonsense.
I'm all about squeezing the bottom.
Good Lord.
And there's the rack we know and love.
There's the rack
we
know and love.
I'm really excited about. I'm really excited about tomorrow's show, and not so much because of the rhyming. I just think that, you know, because, you know, there's just something about whiskey and rhyme. I just like the idea of let's talk and hang out and discuss. But there's not even an actual topic. It doesn't have to be about alcohol. It's just so long as there's some kind of rhyming feature. Bring me a spoken word piece. That's my favorite. And just in a rhyme, out of how, wherever there's a fake rhyme up, I give no crap. So come and hang out with us and you know, let's have a conversation. So
all right, guys. Well,
having,
I'm going to. Go ahead.
She's going to.
Finish your sentence.
Oh,
now
I was just going to
wrap up our
having,
show.
You know. Yeah, okay, so I have that one more sentence, and then you say you're closing, and we're good. I was just going to say that instead of having, you know, a straight line with offshoots, the entire night could be sideways conversations, so it will be fabulous.
And I am excited for that. I just have a very quirky on my end. Your dog is young and crazy. My dog is old and crazy. He keeps going out and telling Bob we have to go to bed. And I'm like, no, but he's insistent right now because he wants everybody in the bedroom to go to bed. Happy dog.
Aww.
Which is usually okay
to
do my show out.
You guys are there?
Huh?
He's hurting you.
He only goes
to
bed
bedroom tonight.
He's hurting you.
He goes to bed. No, he usually goes to bed in the bedroom, and I don't do the show in the bedroom. I do it out at the desk. But he keeps walking, pacing up and down the hall because Bob's in the living room and I'm in the bedroom. And that means we're apart, and he cannot stand it. He's throwing nuts because if I'm in the bedroom, he thinks he should be in bed. And it's driving him nuts. He's going crazy, and he will not stop barking. He's like,
scratch his ass for me.
Poor Amadeus. Yes, I will. So I'm going to stop driving poor Amadeus nuts. Because usually I'm at the desk and Bob's on the couch watching TV, but we're separated, and Amadeus doesn't know why Bob's not in the bedroom. He won't stop. He just
won't stop. He's got the poor guy. Yes, fix it so he can calm down, poor puppy.
Yes, my poor boy is very upset. So thank you for coming. Rack, thank you for being here all night with me. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kay Hatter. Thank you, AP. Thank you, Deborah. Thank everybody that put in poems for me tonight. It's been a ride. And, you know, let's stay forever young because that's all we are. We're as young as the – yeah, and Sky. Yes, thank you, my Sky. We are as – every moment is a new moment to live in, so we are as young as that moment because that's what I believe. We're born every moment, and
fabulous.
That's the moment we live in. Yeah. So, everyone, I love you, especially the two I have in front of me right now. You guys have a great one. Talk to you soon.
You too. Love you back.
Bye. Love you back.
Forever young.
All right. Night, guys. Bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.